Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, almost stood up here and looked at you today because I almost left my notes at home. So it's a good thing I doubled back and got them. So. First, I want to speak today about God the Father. God the Father is a loving Father. And I've got some verses here I'm going to share with you right off the bat, a lot of verses, and then we're going to go from there. Of course, everybody knows this one, and as Larry was talking about it earlier, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's a lot of love. You know, I couldn't give my son for the world, especially the way they treat him today. You know, it's just it tells you how much of a loving Father God really is. Also in Ephesians 2:4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." And in Psalm 86:15, "But thou, O Lord, art of God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." So God has a loving side. He also is very stern. He's a stern father, and I've got some verses to that effect as well. Romans 11:22, "Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." So if you're in the right standing with God, he will keep you in his goodness, but if you cross the line, he'll cut you off. He's stern. You know, he expects you to tote the line. So also in Ezekiel 7:8, "Now I will shortly pour out my wrath on you and spend my anger against you, judge you according to your ways and bring you on you all your abominations." So he can be an angry God too. It's best to stay on the good side, because God being a loving Father, there's always the other side, and I want to stay on the loving side. So, and also finally about God the Father, he has a plan for our lives, and he bears this out in Psalms 32:8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes." And if we follow God's plan, he will show us where we need to go and what we need to do in our life. Because God has a plan for every one of us. Whether we follow that plan is up to us. And, you know, to be in the will of God is where you want to be, because that's where the joy and good things come from. That's some things bore out in the Bible about God the Father. Now I want to talk about earthly fathers for a few minutes. They're supposed to be the priest of the home, supposed to be subject to God's will and lead his household in God's direction, like Bible study, lead his family in prayer, teach his family righteousness and right doing, and not supposed to get into evil things. There's a lot of evil things out there, and if your kids aren't taught properly by a father to stay away from them, they can fall into some bad things. An earthly father is also supposed to be loving. Using God as an example, he should be loving and caring. Should come naturally anyway, and it usually does. You want to give your kids things that they want and need, and you know, but only the things that are really good for them. You don't want to give them things that are gonna, guys. I mean, invariably they're gonna ask for everything, and you got to pick and choose what's good for them and what's bad for them. So, you should want to give them the things that are good for them. Some earthly fathers are not so good. Some fathers are selfish. They're not ever there for their kids. They give bad advice. They lead by the wrong example. Some, they call them deadbeat dads a lot of times. People who, and I don't understand this being a father, who just do not care enough to even be around to be a father, just to be there to guide and teach, let alone give them things and do things with them and help them in their walk. I just don't understand that. But those kind of fathers put their own wants and needs ahead of their children's, and I just don't understand that. God would never do that to you, and I don't understand why people do that to their kids. They also want the best things for their kids. A good father wants kids to have more and know more than he did. Wants his kids to succeed in whatever they do, whether it be whatever they choose, if it's sports, school, career. I'm talking about earthly things here, not spiritual things. He should encourage them to do well in those things and teach them to the best of his knowledge on how to do them and be there. But most importantly, he should teach them in the ways of God and be a good example there. He wants his kids to be a better Christian or believer, because Christian today is a pretty broad term. So a believer, better believer than what he was. Fathers don't always give the perfect advice. We try. We do the best we can. We try to help them avoid the pitfalls and the things that we went through. We can say, hey, don't do that. A lot of times they're going to do it anyway. And they're going to find out the same thing that you found out, that it wasn't the right way to go. So if kids would listen sometimes to their father's advice, they could avoid things. But, you know, we're not perfect, so we don't always advise in the right way every time. We should be in God's will. Every father should strive to be in God's perfect will. When we're in the perfect will of God, we can follow his plan for our lives and fulfill what God has tasked us to do. And this will reflect in our families. It's a hard thing to do, to be in the center of God's will a lot of times, because God just doesn't come out and say, hey, you need to do this. This is what I want you to do. You have to pray about it. You have to align yourself with the things of God, and then you can hear from God. Sometimes I wish he would just talk to me like my dad talks to me. Hey, I need you to do this. Okay, God, I can do this now. He doesn't do it that way, and it's tough a lot of times, but he expects us to be in prayer, expects us to read the Bible, expects us to do those things, and then that way we know when we're hearing from God. A good father protects his family. He does everything in his power to make sure his family is well protected. Takes steps to make sure his family isn't into something that would physically or spiritually be a risk. He also protects against physical or spiritual threats, whether it be man or evil spirit. And there's a lot of that out today. Seems like evil's rampant in the land. And a good father needs to be able to discern what's good and bad and guide his family accordingly. It's not an easy task today. I think it's a lot more difficult than it was 50, 75 years ago. There's just so much more evil out there. And in the last days, it's going to get worse. So fathers, you need to make sure you get yourself in the Word and protect your family. And he's also there physically to protect. If there's a threat to you physically, he should be the first one out there. He should be the first one to take the brunt and defend while protecting his family. And finally, an earthly father should be a disciplinarian. We're to rear our kids in the ways of the Lord. Spare the rod and spoil the child. That's what they say. And it's very evident in today's society that that's happened. Because there's a lot of people out there that whine and want it their way, and it's their way or no way. And, you know, I myself have got a lot of, I need more patience in a lot of situations, because I get that way too sometimes, and I have to ask God to forgive me. But he's got to be a disciplinarian. And I remember a time where in my own, when I was a kid, I was visiting with some people, and my folks went out with them, the people, and they left us kids at home. We were old enough to be at home together, and they weren't going far to a restaurant down the way. And they told us when they left, don't be hooligans, don't tear up the house, don't do any of that stuff. Be good kids. So when they left, what did we do? Yeah, we went tearing through the house, went crazy, jumping on their bed of the kids that we were visiting. The only thing is we weren't too bright because they were big windows right in front of their bedroom. So we're jumping on their bed, and they pull up, and they see us jumping on their bed. And so they come in, and then we heard them, so we got down. We're nice kids, yeah, right, you know. And so my dad comes in and tells me, or asks me, were you jumping on the bed? Oh, no, we wouldn't do things like that. Yeah, well, he saw me. And on the way home that night, we stopped, and he cut a switch out of a tree, and I got the riot act given to me. But, you know, they don't do that anymore. People spare the rod, and my dad didn't, and at the time I wasn't happy about it, but I am today because it taught me a few things, taught me how to act and be. Well, also, I'd like to talk about bratty kids. Yeah. Specifically, like young kids. Young kids throw fits. When kids are toddlers and little, they can throw some major fits. That's mine. I want that. Screaming in the floor and or falling on the floor and throwing fits. And some kids never grow out of that stage. It continues on and on and on. Does never stop. But God deals with this from us all the time. There's a lot of people out there, God, I want, I want, I want. And when we don't get what God, we don't understand why God won't give it to us, there's a reason. Fathers a lot of times have reasons for things that they won't give their kids. You know, they don't always know that at the time, the kids don't. They don't understand, but there's reasons for it. And we do the same thing. We want, we want, we want, tell God about it, and when he doesn't bring it to us, we get mad at him for it. So a lot of us are bratty kids at times, too, when we're dealing with God. Preteens, they question everything. Why is this that way? Why can't I go here? Why can't I, you know, Jerry down the street does it all the time. Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Questions, questions, questions. You know, and so you give them the answer and they're still not satisfied. And it's an ongoing thing. A lot of times you have to get stern with them and tell them, no, there's a reason you're not doing what Jerry does down the street because Jerry's in trouble all the time or whatever. You know, and God deals with this from us too all the time. Why, God, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Why am I here? What lesson could I possibly learn from what I'm going through right now? Why? We just got to trust God. He has a reason. Just like an earthly father, a good earthly father has reasons, so does God. And it's hard sometimes for us. I mean, I know I've gone through a lot of things, and I question and question and question, and I eventually got to say, Lord, I give it to you because I can't question it anymore. So that's about all you could say about that. Teens, though, they rebel. There's no more questioning. There's no more throwing fits. They just flat out rebel. They say, you know, this is a, and it's a very dangerous time in a kid's life because this is where you got to get them. You know, you should have them in the Word already. You should have them in things of the Lord, but at a teenage year, this is where they can really go off into the deep end. And they push that envelope to the max, I'll tell you. They say, like, I don't have to follow Dad's way of doing things. They're old-fashioned. You know, I'm my own person. You know, at this point, we got to hope that we have grounded them enough that they're going to think back to Dad and Mom talking about things of the Lord. And when they're out there doing the things they shouldn't be, hopefully they'll be thinking about that in the back of their mind and it'll be pulling on their heart. because we got to make sure they get through that stage of idiocy, because I myself was pretty much an idiot for a few years, I'll tell you that, until I finally came around. And there's a lot of temptation out there, promiscuity, drugs, alcohol, the occult. Satan uses all these things against your kids. And as an earthly father, you got to really, really hold true and stay in prayer for your kids, because even when they're out, you don't know where they're at a lot of times or doing what they're doing. And you got to pray that they stay on the track, because there is a lot of things out there that can lead them. And Satan uses that to lure them in those destructive vices. And sometimes those vices that they pick up will last through their entire life. Some people become alcoholics because in their teenage years they rebelled and drank a lot of alcohol, and then they can't get off it. It's a lot of things that can happen, and it's sad. But it causes us to pray every day and make sure they follow the right path. Young adults also have trouble trusting their earthly father. You know, kids become adults, and then they realize their parents were never superheroes like they thought when they were little. You know, I always thought my dad knew everything, you know. Sometimes I was a little scared of him because, you know, he was a stern disciplinarian, but I always thought he knew everything. But then you grow up and you realize, you know, he's just trying to get along in this world like everybody else and did the best he can, as I am doing, trying to do the best I can with God's help. They realize that you're going along by the seat of your pants and don't really have all the answers. And a lot of times that's true. I mean, you know, you've got God to guide you, and that's what's important. But a lot of times you're just, you know, you're doing the best you can, and that's all you can do. You know, a lot of times kids think at this point they know more than their parents do, but we do have a couple of things on them. Number one, we have age and experience. We do know some things because we've been there before. You know, life teaches you a lot, and just living life will teach you a lot. It'll teach you how to do things and how to accomplish things, and so we do have age and experience on them, which helps. And number two, we have the Bible. That's the most important thing. And there really is a handbook for parenting. It's the Bible. You know, the Bible is relevant today, even though kids think it's outdated, an old book, and just can't understand it. It is relevant today. I mean, you can open up your Bible and read what's going on in today's world right now. And the things in the Bible transcend time, and we just have to use it to help teach our kids in the ways of the Lord. And as adults, if they're grounded and they've been taught by grandmas and grandpas and dads and everybody, they'll come around. They'll come back. I mean, I got out there and was foolish and an idiot for a while. And I came back. I came back around. And it happens to everybody. I think there's some point where you fail and you come back. But usually that stage, the stage of idiocy passes, idiocy, that is. They wake up and they come back around to the things of the Lord. And that's what we can hope for, and that's what we do hope for as parents. Trusting the Father is so important, and that's hard to do. Like I said, earthly fathers have reasons, God has reasons, but I rebelled against things, and I originally had brought up a whiteboard here. I was going to show this, but I think, you know, I mean, I've already showed it for you guys before, and I can go ahead and do it again here, but my rebellion was on predestination and foreordaining. I really had a problem with that growing up with God, and it was my pitfall. And my questions were, God, if you know the future, why do you create people who are lost? Why create them at all? If you're going to create them and you're going to say this is the way they're going and they go to hell, why create them? It doesn't make sense to me. Why would that be? What good is prayer in that case? There's really no reason for prayer, I thought. Am I nothing more than a robot fulfilling God's plans with no choices? Because he already knows what I'm going to do before I do it, so what's the point? I'm just kind of going along here. And then God set me down and explained to me, because it was my major stumbling block. He finally had sat down like a father would with a son who's questioning and won't give it up. and say, okay, look, here's the reason why. And I bore this out before, and I guess I'll do it again. I don't know if everybody can see this, but I'll bring it to one side or the other here. Can y'all see? Okay. Let me go around to the front here. I thought God sees our life like this, in one straight line. You know, okay, you're born here, you die here, and here's everything you're doing in between, and this is what I'm doing. God set this up, this is his plan, this is how you're living it. That's not how it is. Now, there's decisions to be made, and like I said, God has a plan for you, for everybody. And this plan may go like this. Here's the end. There's the beginning of God's plan, let's say. You come into this earth, and you're born. And as you grow older, you have decisions to make. So you can go along with God's plan, or you can go another way, or another way. And then you can, there's another decision point in which you go. And the decision points just keep branching off. So that if you do not follow God's plan and you go your own way, eventually you can get clear off his path. But the thing is, if you pray, God can nudge you back to his plan again, what he has for you. So here's a decision point. Now you've decided to go the right way. Now you've intersected God's plan again. And you can continue on. But this gives you the free will. God can see this entire spidering out of decisions. He can see the whole thing. And then other people, how they interact with you. And it just goes on and on and on. That's a big God who can see everything. That doesn't take away your at all. It doesn't take away your free will at all. He's given you free will. You can make whatever choices you want. Now, like I said, when you pray, God can nudge you back to the right path and take you all the way through to the end. I mean, that amazes me that God is that strong, that knowing. I mean, how many people are in this world? How many intersecting lines could there be? I mean, one decision starts a spidering effect that just goes on and on. And God sees it all ahead of time, the whole thing. Prayer is valid. You're not a robot. God can see the future of every decision you'll make. But as you make those decisions, they fall away. That bad path can fall away if you go back to God's plan. So that truly brought me around. That's my point where I said, wow, God, you are a loving Father. You did give me free will. Prayer is valid. You know, you don't create people just because they're lost. They choose their own path. They choose their own way. God creates everybody with a plan in mind. And they all work together to fulfill it in the end. So if we follow God's plan and everybody followed God's plan, it'd be a perfect world. There wouldn't be any evil. There wouldn't be any problems. But God is loving. He always is there for us 24/7. And he always will give you your choice. But if you would align yourself with God and stay in the Word, He will nudge you the right way, and He will give you everything you ask for as far as things that line up with the Word. And He's everything an earthly father is supposed to be. He's a protector. He's a disciplinarian. He's everything, but more than anything, He is a loving God, and He will always be that for us. That's all I have. Thank you, guys.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.